You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program today. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30 is where we're going to continue our study on the importance of developing a life of praise and how important that is to God, but it's also very important for us. When we started the Refresh radio program in 2013, one of the first week we talked about, you know, why is it called the Refresh radio program? And you hear the verse in our opening, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And so as a church, we're blessed to be a blessing, to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to the church, to be a blessing to the community. That's what we exist to be. And then from there, I went into an entire 3 or 4 week period of just talking about the importance of giving thanks. And so as a parent, whenever you're raising kids, you want to teach them to be thankful, because it doesn't cost you anything to say thank you. And it does reap a whole lot of benefits, and it expresses to people that, you know, their actions towards you have not gone unnoticed. So we're looking at how important it is to praise the Lord and give thanks to Him. I want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. You know, I hope you pray for the people who are out there working outside all year long. This is the most challenging season, because you either have one of two things going on. You either have serious heat that just, it's hot when you go out of a morning, and it's even hotter of an afternoon. And if it does get a reprieve, it's because it rains. And so there are people, and those afternoon storms can, you know, become pretty electrically charged and things like that. So you don't want to be out there working in that. So I hope that you will pray for all of the people who are out there. But the folks at Jits Concrete, they've got decades of doing successful concrete projects here in Brevard County all year round. So they know what it is like to prepare the site. They know what it is like to do the clearing, the preparation, to do the installation, and to do the finishing and the cleanup and all of that. They know the networks. They know the strength. They know the codes, the thicknesses. They have all of the tools. They've got decades and decades of expertise. They've got decades and decades of good experience. And they have a great work ethic, and they've done a number of projects around the church. We've also hired them to do some projects at my house, and we are thankful for the blessing that Jits Concrete is to us and to this community. 321-536 is 5804 is how you could get in touch with them if you've got some concrete projects that you want to tackle. You can call them up. They'll come out, give you an estimate, see if y'all can come to an agreement on a timeline, and they'll get in, get it done, and get out of your way so your project can move forward. 321-536-5804. Thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete. So yesterday we began talking about how Leah reached a transition point in her life, and she said, you know what? I'm going to praise the Lord. And it changed Leah. Now, whenever we praise God, whenever we give thanks to Him, it is something that is good and holy for us to do. We'll talk more about some other aspects of it a little bit. But for Leah, becoming a person of thanksgiving, which was a choice, you know, a lot of times we think, well, we're just going to get up one day and it's just going to naturally happen. Listen, life is about choices that we make. Make godly choices. Make godly choices have less misery in our lives. Make bad choices have less happiness and much more misery. So I want to be a thankful person. So we talked about when Leah was naming some children that Jacob's concubine had. She no longer, but after Leah had born Judah, she no longer focused on her misery. She focused on that she was fortunate, she was blessed, she was happy. And then that brings us to Genesis chapter 30, verse number 17. And it said, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I have given my maid to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Issachar literally means wages. And then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons. So she called his name Zebulun. Afterward, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Zebulun literally means dwelling. And and Dinah is a name that means judged or governed or vindicated. It was Jacob's only daughter. And so it's a word that is linked with judgment and justice. His only little girl, six sons and a daughter. And so Leah really began to focus on, you know, God has given, God has endowed me with a good endowment. And so I can promise you this. People will let you down. People will treat you badly. And before you get to feeling too sorry for yourself, let me remind you that you've probably let people down and you've probably hurt people as well. So don't be using one metric in measuring them and how you feel about them, and then use a different metric about yourself. I've known people who really, really got bothered if somebody treated them badly, but it didn't bother them at all when they treated other people badly. And that's called an unjust measurement. It's not pleasing in God's sight. So we are thankful that we are forgiven. That forgiveness should manifest itself in us being forgiving to other people around us. So, Leah focused on the things that God had given to her. And she became very, very thankful. The last one, even though it focuses on the endowment that God had given to her, there was still a longing. There was still a belief in Jacob that at some point in time he was going to value Leah as much as Leah valued him. I don't know if you've ever been, you know, in a place where you did not receive most favored person status from another individual. It's not an easy place to be. But I want, excuse me, I want to remind you, you're not here for them. You're here to please and honor God. Leah, in essence, is the mother of the nation of Israel. Not, she wasn't the mother of Israel, the person Jacob's name became after this would be changed to Israel by God. And I'm going to come back to that in just, but she gave birth to six of the 12 tribes plus a daughter. So, I mentioned that here in a little bit, Jacob was going to have another encounter with God. And during that encounter, Jacob was going to be altered physically, and he was going to be altered by name. He was going to be altered to the point that at the beginning of his life, he was known to be a deceiver or a slanderer. At the end of his life, he is going to be known as a prince of God, which is what Israel means. And he was going to be an agent of blessing. He was a person. He goes to Pharaoh in Egypt through his sons. He sends his sons there to buy food. And Joseph had gone there, been sold into slavery by his brothers, and Joseph ends up being the agent through which the nation of Israel was saved at that point in time. And when Jacob arrives, he was over 130 years old, and he blesses Pharaoh. And then at the end of his life, he pronounces blessing over his children. I find it interesting that before there was this radical transformation in Jacob, there had been a long period of time of transformation in Leah. And if we're going to experience relational dynamics changing, someone's got to be first. Now, I want to tell you, we want society to change, but the Bible says that judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And so if the house of the Lord has become something that God did not want it to be, if it has become influenced by culture instead of influencing culture, if there has been an embracing or an acceptance of sin instead of embracing the beauty of holiness, if it has become about people instead of about God, then we're going to find that God's going to begin dealing with his church, his bride, before he deals with society as a whole. So, and you can see that correction taking place a lot of times. It's still happening now. But before it begins with the church, it begins with pastors. And so if all you see about pastoring is the fact that somebody is up there preaching the word or teaching the word, and man, it just looks like all they do is work an hour a week, you are missing much. You're missing most of what pastors do. Okay. So there is a whole lot. I a lot of times people say, you pastors, you just get everything you want. And it's like, then I'm really bad at wanting then, you know, cause I wanted my church, the church that I pastor, I wanted it to be larger. I wanted it to be more impactful. There's a lot of things about it that I wanted that never happened. And in fact, one of those times I was praying and I was, correctable at that point in time by God, let's put it that way. And God's response was, Bob, I have to deal with your pride the same way I've got to deal with everybody else's pride. Because God hates pride. He hates pride outside the church. He hates pride in the church. And he definitely hates pride in the people of God. God is looking for a humble people, not an arrogant people. And so somebody's got to change. And it's best if we say, God, I want you to change me, and if you change me, I'm going to reap the benefits of it, whether another person changes or not. But Jacob did change. I'm going to give you just a little bit of a brief synopsis of what happened. Rachel eventually does start having children of her own. She has Joseph, and she names Joseph again, what kind of the way that Leah does, what she had going on in her life. And Joseph, she said, may the Lord add to me another. And then she conceives again and she has another son, and she dies giving birth to that son. She named that son before she died, the son of my pain. And Jacob said, that boy's not going to live under the influence of that name. And he named him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand or son of my strength. So when Leah died, when Rachel died, they buried her under a tree in Bethlehem. Now, Jacob goes on and he lives a very long life. He ends up being in Egypt when he dies. And let me read to you verses 28 through 33 in Genesis chapter 49. All these are the 12 tribes. This is after Jacob has blessed them. And this is what their father spoke to them. He blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Then he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for a burial place. Okay, so Jacob is telling his adult children, this is what you're supposed to do with me when I die. He could choose anything that he wanted to choose. He could say, you know, hey, bury me here, take me back. You know, that's what Joseph said is, look, God's going to deliver you out of Egypt. And when you do, don't leave my bones here. Take me back to the promised land. Jacob could have done that. Jacob could have said, hey, bury me under the tree where Rachel was buried. But I want you to hear what Jacob's, some of his final words were. There they buried Abraham and Sarah, his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people. I remember when God was working this message into my life. And, you know, this is one of those conversations that you might just glance over and you might not say, oh, well, that's an interesting historical fact. But as God was walking me through this, how to turn misery into triumph, I realized that Leah had been such a blessing. She was so transformed. It wasn't that it ended up being a lifelong competition, but at the end of Jacob's life, he said this, bury me next to Leah. I can tell you this, excuse me. If we remain complainers, if we are defined by our misery, if we choose to be defined by all of the trauma and the bad things that have happened to us, we are going to have such a toxic personality, such an unpleasant personality, that no one will want to be around us. But if we will allow God to change us, and we allow Him to be the defining aspect of our life, and we choose to focus on praising Him and focus on the fact that God has changed us to where we no longer see ourselves like the comic strip, The Born Loser. Instead, we see ourselves as fortunate. Instead of seeing ourselves as a victim, we see ourselves as more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved us. As if we see that God is going to make sure that everything that He wants in our life is going to come into our life, if we recognize that we have been blessed by God to be a blessing, if we realize that God has caused us to bring something to the spiritual table in Brevard County that no one else could bring, if we realize that God has chosen us and strategically placed us in Brevard County for such a time as this, we are going to have a level of influence that at some point in time is going to bring change to other people as well. And they're going to want to choose the same eternity that we're choosing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A lot of people have that rephrased, as for me and my house, we want the Lord to serve us, but we want to serve the Lord. So I came to this place years ago. I was walking through one of the nicest complexes I had ever been in. And I was walking to my car. It wasn't a great car. It was a functional car. And I was thankful for that car. And in Florida, if you have a car that has air conditioning, you should be really thankful for air conditioning. But I was walking to my car, and God interrupted my walk. And he said, "Bob, I've been very good to you." And I said, "Yes, sir, you have." Now, I want you to know, I didn't have then, nor do I have now, many of the things that, you know, people think are absolute essentials in life. I just knew this: God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I said, "Yes, sir, you have." And he followed that up with this statement: "I have been better to you than you could have ever been to yourself." And I've never forgotten that. The devil will try and convince people. He did it in the garden. He tries to do it now. He tries to convince people that God is holding out and that they would be better off taking matters into their own hands and taking them out of God's hands. And I want you to know that the exact opposite is true. Today, your life can be changed if, instead of taking matters into your own hands, you take your hands and you throw them up and say, "God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for health in my body and soundness in my mind. I want to thank you for breath in my lungs. I want to thank you." Whatever blessings you have, you know, there's an old hymn we used to sing. It said, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." The more that you thank God for, the more you are going to become aware of all that God has done in your life. And I live by this principle. One day when we get to heaven, God's going to show us that he was much more involved in our lives than we gave him credit for.